Time now for another of our conservation conversations with John Sumption and Annie Knight. They're helping us produce this series. And welcome back, you guys, Annie and John.
John, you're muted.
John, come on, John, push the button. Get your voice going.
All right. John, you're muted. But thank you for welcoming us to the show. We appreciate it. It's good to be back.
Sorry, Annie. Oh, John's in. Hi, John.
Hey, Scott, good to see you. What a surprise. I thought you were retired like me.
Well, they let me come in, and I have to chaperone John once in a while. Yeah, I had to remind him today was his anniversary, so that was an important thing I did. That's about it for the day.
That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary, John.
Well, thank you, John. Yeah.
All right, Annie and John, we have a special guest today. Tell us what's the setup for our program.
Yeah. So for those who haven't listened to our conservation conversations before, we've been on the show since December, and John Sumption and I work for Northern Waters Land Trust, which is a nonprofit land conservation organization based out of Walker. And we serve the areas of Aiken County, Crow Wing County, Cass County, and Hubbard County. And kind of in short, our methods of conservation are through conservation easements, fee title acquisitions, and community outreach. And that's why we're on the show. One of the reasons we're on the show is that community part, because part of conservation is really key is collaborating with our awesome conservation partners in the area. So today we get to have Andrew Segrin join us. He works for the Crow Wing Soil and Water Conservation District. He is the forestry easement technician for them. And just a little background on Andrew, he earned his bachelor's degree from Bemidji State University in wildlife management. And then he began his career in natural resources, working with everything from humpback whales to sage grouse. He has spent the last 5 years as a wildland firefighter in Two Harbors, Minnesota, still works there on the weekends. And in his free time, he enjoys hunting, fly fishing, and tying flies. So we're delighted to have Andrew with us to share his knowledge. And Andrew. And maybe go for it.
No, that's all right. I just want to be sure Andrew's microphone was on. And it is. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Andrew, were you up working on the fire this weekend up near Two Harbors?
No, I had a rare weekend off. I went to North Dakota to get ready for a bow hunting trip in early September, but I got some pictures of it from coworkers.
Is that under control now?
I don't have much information on it, but I know they're getting a management team over there, I believe, today. So.
Okay. All right. Well, the Northern Waters Land Trust, Annie described very well the work of that, and I know what we've been talking about all morning long and probably for weeks is our drought. And do you guys have any beginning thoughts on that before we dig into the other stuff you want to talk about?
It is, as you well know, Scott, it is here in Longville area, we're over 7 inches down since June. Wow. And I mean, everything is really crispy. I'm getting real concerned about fire danger.
How about in the Brainerd area?
Yeah, it's still dry here. It's just one of those things that happens every like 10 years, I feel like. But this one's kind of a bad one. But yeah, just be smart when you're dealing with fire. Maybe it's a year you kind of skip a few of those campfires.
Annie, any thoughts on our drought and our water circumstances now?
Yeah, just kind of echoing what John and Andrew said.
Okay.
We haven't had nearly as many campfires as we usually have in our summers, just being mindful of that. And I've never seen my whole life the water level this low, so definitely concerning, and being mindful is key.
Do you know if the Army Corps manages the dams any differently in circumstances like this? Because we have 5 dams on the upper Mississippi, all within our listening area, including the Brainerd area and all the way over toward Bemidji and of course, the Federal Dam and Pokagama Dam. Do you know if there's any special water management tactics the Corps uses at times like this? Boy, the river is so low, the Mississippi, in certain spots where it's not, where the water isn't being held back.
There, Scott, there really isn't. There, you know, they have a very limited amount of control, actually. I mean, there's about four times the amount evaporates off the surface, for instance, a Leech Lake, as goes out through the dam in an average day when the weather's like this. So you know, what they do really doesn't matter much. Corps, of course, is supposed to keep maintain navigable water levels downstream, but when there's just no water around, it's pretty tough.
So, Andrew, what kind of work are you working on right now?
Well, we're doing a lot of easement and forestry stuff. We've got a few different programs here for the growing soil and water. One is mainly focusing on the Pine River watershed. There is some research done that shows that if you have 75% of a watershed forested, water quality kind of stays maintained at a high level. But after you get development or forest cleared for that, and you start having over 25% of that land developed, the water quality really starts to diminish. So we've got some funding for trying to enroll folks into conservation easements, and then also doing forestry work, writing forest stewardship plans, and getting people enrolled into the Sustainable Forestry Incentive Act, which is a 8-20 or 50-year covenant of just actively managing your land as a tax incentive program, as ways to kind of maintain the forested land on these watersheds and try to reach that 75% protection goal. And then in areas where we're already seeing water quality kind of go down, we're doing some shoreline work and stormwater work to try to reduce the amount of phosphorus in those lakes that's kind of draining into them.
Yeah, tell us more about the Pine River watershed in general. What does it encompass in terms of lakes and landmass? I know it's a big chunk of Cass County. Does it go down into Crow Wing County?
Yeah, it goes pretty far down into Crow Wing. I think it scoops just underneath Pelican Lake there.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes all the way up to, if people are familiar with, like, the Lake Ada area. That's a pretty sizable watershed. But then we also have programs focusing on around the Camp Ripley area that drops all the way into Morrison County. We have a program along the Mississippi River and Tulibee Refuge Lakes that are shown to have high phosphorus sensitivity. We have easement programs around those, and then also Wild Rice Lakes. And then a few of my coworkers also do a lot of shoreline projects, working on getting shorelines more in a natural state with natural vegetation to be able to filter out some of that phosphorus and pollutants that can get into the lakes and start to impair the water quality.
And what's the source of most of the phosphorus?
A lot is fertilizer. And that's phosphorus is the main one. There's other pollutants, but phosphorus is kind of the main one that is really measurable to tell the lake impacts that it has and groundwater. Mm-hmm.
So these are residential developments, or is there any agriculture related to any of this watershed?
There's agriculture as well. It's kind of a mix of both. A lot of this easement work is focused on easement and forestry work is focused on parcels that are bigger than 20 acres. So a lot of it is trying to get those parcels not to be kind of divided up and then all put into residential lake homes or stuff like that that will begin to kind of deteriorate shoreline areas.
Is it inevitable if, a 20-acre parcel gets chopped up into lake lots, is it inevitable that that degrades, or can you work with people to prevent the degradation?
Yeah, so we, through our website, you can set up a site visit with a technician here and have someone come out to your property, look at your shoreline, look at your land, and kind of give you some options to have the least amount of impact on the surrounding ecosystem. So yeah, you can still have a lake home, or I mean, you could still live at your house and not have a major detrimental impact to your surrounding environment. And that's kind of why we're here, is to help people get financial and technical advice from us to be good land stewards.
John, I know you were so active in your work before you retired in Cass County, establishing those shoreline regulations and enforcement. And there's a fine line between people cooperating and you having to enforce. How would you describe that?
I think the kind of incentives that Andrew was talking about go a long way. There are people that despite all your good works, try to evade doing the right thing, kind of like people that evade getting a vaccine shot. So, I mean, there's a mixture of techniques that ultimately you have to use. Some people need to be regulated, and most people don't.
Okay. Annie, any thoughts on that?
No, John and Andrew said a lot. And I think, I guess I do have a little thing to add. As Andrew was talking about the various programs, it just made me think, we had a landowner reach out to us in the Walker area maybe a month or so ago, interested in putting a conservation easement on his land. And he kind of been thinking about it for a long while. So we met for coffee and we talked through it, and he had just a great property, super biologically diverse, and even had a wild rice bed, but it was just outside of our grant-funded programming area. So we weren't able to help him. We couldn't use our grant funding to put a conservation easement on his land. But I reached out, this was in Hubbard County, so I reached out to Hubbard County Soil and Water Conservation District and told them about the property and kind of connected the two. And it was great, because through the Sustainable Forest Initiative Act, the SFIA, they were able to put an SFIA on his land, and then on another section put a conservation easement on his land, so it's going to be protected forever. So it's just an example of how we kind of complement each other in the work that we're doing. And
when you say protected forever, Annie, do you mean that there will be nothing done in the way of management of the shoreline? What does that mean? Or is there a plan, actual written plan, for the shoreline owner?
Yeah, so with the Andrew can speak more to the SFIA program, but for the conservation easement itself, that's an agreement between the landowner, and then in this case, the DNR with the land trust, and meaning that landowner is not going to further develop their land. So they're putting limits and prohibiting that future development on the land. They also write up a land management plan for their property so that they are continuing to manage that property in a good and sustainable way. And then every year, someone comes in and checks up on the status of that land, and that conservation easement is actually written into the deed and the title of that property. So no matter who owns that property in the future, the land is going to continue to be protected forever, which is really an awesome way, because, you know, once you put a conservation easement on your land, you go, woohoo, this land that I worked so hard to protect is going to be protected in perpetuity. So, and then Andrew, I don't want to steal the show if you want to talk about the SFIA program, which is a super great option as well.
Sure.
Yeah. So like I had mentioned, you can choose to enroll in 8, 20 or 50 year increments and you get one of those forest management plans written. Someone comes out, kind of takes inventory of the vegetation and what's going on your property, writes you a plan that's specific to your land, and you register your management plan, and all you have to do is send something into the DNR to enroll in SFIA, and it's just a tax incentive program. You get a little kickback, and you just you can still actively manage your land. You just can't develop it under SFIA.
So is the Soil and Water Office, the County Soil and Water Office, the place to start? You mentioned DNR too. And John, I know you had environmental services in your county of Cass County. Where, you know, where's a place, first call to make for a landowner who may be interested in learning more?
The Soil and Water is a great choice. Otherwise, if you're not wanting to go through us for some reason, the Minnesota DNR has a page online of certified stewardship plan writers, and there's a list of, a lot of them are retired foresters that can write your plan and help you through the process.
All right, that's Andrew Segrin from the Crow Wing Soil and Water Office. And Annie and John, thanks again for helping us bring this program of Conservation Conversations over the airwaves.
Thank you, Scott and John.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, do everything you can to bring us some rain.
We'll do it.
You too. You're tuned to 91.7 KAXE, Grand Rapids, Hibbing, Virginia, Big Fork, and Aiken, 90.5 KBXE, Bagley, Bemidji, Fauston, Clearbrook, Red Lake, and Parker Rapids, 89.9. In the Brainerd Lakes area, lakes all over the place. If you need more information about the soil and water projects or the conservation easements or anything you heard during our conservation conversation, you can give us a call, 800-662-5799.